I'm a god.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow?
I'm a god.
There wasn't one today.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of It's Time to Rewind, a podcast stuck in its own time loop, right along with the movies we discuss. In this special bonus episode, I'm discussing Scott Pilgrim vs. the World's Extra Life, starting at 99 minutes and 9 seconds, with Scott Pilgrim gearing up, tying his shoe, and heading to the Chaos Theater with times 2 bonuses, and ends at 105 minutes and 13 seconds, with coins raining from the sky in slow motion as Knives and Scott say, "Wow." Once again, my guest is Bentley Michaels, voiceover artist and host of the A Christmas Story podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yes, it is I, Bentley Michaels, host of A Christmas Story Minute, the only Christmas podcast that, well, I don't have an in for that, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, so, you know, this is Scott's extra life. So this is, again, yeah. this is like the second iteration of two time loops, or I guess one time loop in yeah. the middle of a movie, which is, you know, why I decided to do this as, you know, a special hiatus episode, just to give, you know, two quick episodes and get a chance to talk about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. As I get ready to really dig into the Twilight Zone season.
Yeah, I loved it. We kind of talked about it a little bit yesterday, but like, again, they're like redoing the shots, they're redoing the, you know, the angles, they're, you know, all that sort of stuff, but it's quicker editing. And I wrote, I love the level up version montage, and you know, the repeat mode thing is hard. Like, granted, There's not much dialogue until him and Jason start talking. Still can't say Jason Schwartzman. Still just you and dishing. But I was telling you off mic that, like, you know, during the whole pandemic thing, like, I wrote a Christmas movie that's a repeater day kind of thing. And that was the hardest part, that like when I would write a scene and then it would repeat. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part was then like going back through and doing the rewrite, because you have to go through and meticulously go through every single day. Like, that was the hardest part. So like, I have a lot of respect for like when I see repeat stuff like this, like when they're doing it, or like, you know, even to a certain extent, like even though it's kind of from different angles, having to cover the angle and cover the idea of, you know, like, you know, in the third Harry Potter movie, like the whole ending of it, like the those things that happen in the background, those are things that we later find out that the characters are doing because they saw the thing before and like we're supposed to do it. Or like, you know, we find out, or for example, like in Back to the Future 2, you know, Marty doesn't get beat up off stage because, you know, Marty, other Marty in the rafters drop sandbags like on you know, Billy Zane and Biff's gang or whatever. And so like those fun little attention to detail and that sort of repeater stuff is always really, really, enticed me. And so like, you know, all of the shots are quicker. It's kind of like, all right, it's kind of like you're almost like flipping through the comic book pages. You're like, oh yeah, I read this page, blah, 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 blah. But, I love how, like, Scott doesn't care. He's like, what's the password? My fist in your face. What's the password? Me beating both of you down. That's the password. And like, and it's like, you see that he's leveling up and like doing all the stuff, and you're like, oh,
and he's,
man,
getting points for everything that he does now too.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, this was the path the entire time. Like, you know, like you didn't think of it because like, and this is kind of like to your point from yesterday, he's figured out, I think, the change. Either, maybe he hasn't figured it out, but he's at least being emotionally driven as a person, as a character, far different than he has been the rest of the movie. Now he's just like, now it's on and he's pissed, you know? And
even though it's just a single repetition, and I do think that this does qualify a lot for a time loop, because Scott is really the only person that knows that he's repeating, because
yeah,
all the other characters do pretty much exactly the same thing. The only real change, which it's just a basically a gag, is whenever he walks into the club, you got the guy saying, you know, their first album is better than their first album.
Yeah.
And this time he says, you know, the comic book is better than the movie.
Oh, nice.
So his line actually changes and it gives a different joke. And also it's another one of those meta jokes because this is based on a comic book.
Yeah. And also kind of like just, you know, in doing some of the video game voiceover work that I've been doing recently and also with like some of the stuff I've done in the past, with another video game is that like there is that, we'll say random back in the day, like there's that sort of random, like, we'll say lines list, you know, like those, some more of those like RPG games like Zelda or something like that, where it's like, you've got like, you know, A, B and C options. So it's like, this could be like one of like maybe four lines in this game that like this character has. And we just happen to, you know, catch the different line on this time. But I mean, obviously it's an amazing joke, you know, for the film above all, but like sort of maybe looking at it technically and video game wise, it might be like one of those sort of random line generator type ideas as well.
Yeah. I mean, Komo himself is almost like an NPC because he only gets throughout the entire movie, he only gets like maybe two or three very brief scenes, even though he does get his own like named title card where it shows his name, his age and everything whenever he first shows up in the movie. But he is an extremely minor character compared to everybody else in this scene.
Yeah. And I like the whole deal. Like, you know, this is a very like sort of acceptance scene for Scott, you know, and I like, you know, obviously growth, but like, it's very much acceptance of like, look, I've been in bands. I've been in bands and I've been kicked out of bands. And I've had that sort of, you know, Mark Wahlberg rock star movie moment where like, I'm like, all right, well, this is all my stuff and I got to take this. And so it's like, they're just like watching me load out my gear for like 45 minutes and it's just sad. And so like, I like that sort of acceptance idea because like, I had a hard time like going to shows and doing stuff like that when I was in my early 20s. He's like, you know, hey, you're just Neil now, you know, and like and the look of elation on that guy's that he's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you. You know, because at the end of the day, the conversation we probably don't see unless I'm missing it is that like he goes, you know, I was a big fan of yours and I started playing bass because of you and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, it means so much to me that you would accept me in this band, you know, all that kind of crud. Like that, I got all of that from that sort of like small little reaction and moment in that second or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's great, even right at the very beginning of this, that Scott does already feel like he's grown as a person because he immediately takes ownership of his past wrongdoings by apologizing to Kim, the drummer, mm-hmm. which, if you don't remember, she is an ex-girlfriend of Scott's.
Ah, okay. I kind of assumed that like when he said that, it's like, I screwed it up or what, you know, whatever. And yeah, for sure. Hey, but good for Scott. You know, he's growing and he's mending friendships.
Mm-hmm. And then this time he gets the power of self-respect whenever the sword comes out of his chest instead of mm-hmm. the power of love. But I did notice that, you know, his stat bonuses, they're all a little bit bigger and one of them is different. He gets guts plus 5 instead of plus 3, heart plus 6 instead of plus 2, which nice. I thought that was surprising considering that in the first one, he's like, you know, he got the level up because of professing his love to Ramona. But in this one, he gets an extra 4 plus heart. He gets plus 7 smarts versus plus 4, and then he gets plus 8 balls. Or the first time
yeah,
it was
well,
plus
I mean,
4
he's,
will.
He's not the sort of meek guy that he was in the last time, but also like that heart thing, I think, you know, obviously it's extra because it comes with the, and the smarts, you know, that it's more, it's like it comes with the realization that I've been the bad guy the whole time. And I've been, and yeah, I got to slay this, you know, Jason Schwartzman character or whatever, because he's just he's a dick. But like, but I think it's that, again, that self-realization, the character moving forward and him being like, you know, I wronged you. My bad. You're new. You're not no longer new Neil. You're just Neil. You know, play this music. I forget what he says exactly, but it was like, play this music. It's better when you do it this way or something like that. Play this song that. And then he doesn't care anymore. And Jason like tries to go like into his, you know, villain model. He's like, hey, shut up. Like, let's fight, basically.
That makes me think of, you know, this wouldn't be like a Movies by Minutes style podcast if I didn't overanalyze a tiny detail. And
oh, please do. Again, I was captivated by just kind of like watching the movie and was just taking broad strokes. I figured you would probably have all the pertinent information. And if not, it would just be the worst episode ever.
But I do think that him getting, you know, +6 heart versus the +2 is because, you know, he learned a lot about relationships just in this small interaction, and him understanding his failings of his previous, you know, failed relationships and the things that he did wrong basically increased his capacity for love and increases his chances of having a meaningful and a stronger relationship this time around versus just where it is the first time. It was almost like it wasn't a meaningless profession of love, but it didn't have as much.
It was more for his ego, I think.
Yeah.
Rather than like, it's like, I have to win this gal back because that's what it is. It's not that he actually meant it and or can like move forward if she says no type of thing.
This brings to the second, I guess, major chain, or I guess the third one, because the second one is he earns the power of self-respect instead of this power of love. And then you have the classic
Huey like, Lewis is out of here.
He has the classic, like, you know, the duel with the two of them going at each other. And the first time, Scott was the one who fell down the steps. And then this time, it's Gideon who falls down the steps. And Scott gets 7,000 points, even though he's not fully defeated.
That classic samurai swipe through. You're like, who got cut in half?
Right. Watching it again, I was kind of curious because, you know, this entire movie is based around an alternate, like, slightly video game reality, because all of these characters have these video game abilities.
Yeah.
But I think basically everyone who does is more or less connected to Gideon, and Gideon is this like genius tech guy. I'm kind of curious if this entire video game reality was somehow initiated by Gideon.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting idea. Like, I mean, going back to the Ready Player One sort of idea, like, are these folks like actually just sitting in a chair somewhere with VR stuff on? And so it's like, yeah, it's this sort of matrixy augmented reality thing, but it's like you can kind of pick the era, the sort of thing, like, and the powers and the people that you want to be a part of. You know, it's like you fill out the questionnaire at the beginning, which games do you like, which movies, which books, blah, blah, blah. And there's kind of like a, this is the world for you, go to this thing. And then they plug into their VR. Cause like, we're jumping ahead when I say this, but like, but it's sort of prevalent throughout the entire movie, but I really noticed it in this fight, obviously, cause like, it was a little bit more violent or whatever, but it, going back to the sound design, going back to the effects, going back to the way that it's working, it reminds me of those Capcom versus Street Fighter, like Capcom versus Marvel video games.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the way that the, you two, we're fighting now, here we go, you know, Scott versus Jason, or Gideon rather, Scott versus Gideon. And it's that whole thing. My kids and I used to play the Capcom Marvel versus Capcom, and that's the first time Deadpool was actually voiced. That was the first. It was by this guy named Nolan North, who's like a big guy in cartoons and stuff like that. But like,
Yeah. That's
what it really, really reminded me of was those versus video games with like the screens that separate and like all the stuff. You know, it's the same type of graphics, it's the same, you know, music and all those sorts of things. And yeah, you really feel it throughout this entire battle. Like they're starting to blink more as people get hurt and all that sort of stuff. But that's a really cool idea. Is Gideon the guy who created this quote unquote, you know, matrix, this this augmented reality that they're all living in, and then like maybe they'll take off their goggles now and like go solve their problems in the real world type of thing.
Yeah, and especially, you know, once Gideon gets defeated and he powers up this time, and I like that you mentioned the blinking, which I personally like the, and this happens several times in this loop where, you know, as the character basically gets low health, they start flashing red.
Yeah.
And personally, it reminded me of like the classic side-scrolling arcade games, like the four-player Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the four-player Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a great example.
And that's, you know, I love that because I spent so long playing like the four-player Simpsons arcade game.
Oh, I was just going to say the Simpsons one. Yeah, you'd have those... like, you know, your baseball team or your little league basketball team or whatever it was, and you'd go to the pizza place and they always had like the Ninja Turtles or the Simpsons one.
Or the X-Men was the other one, but that that one I didn't see as much personally. For me, it was usually the Turtles or the Simpsons.
And yeah, for sure.
That's one that, like, they have this, you know, the personal classic arcade, like the mini arcade cabinets that they have at Walmart, like the 1-Up. And I know that the next one that they're coming out with is The Simpsons. And, you know, that's awesome. That's the first one where I am so tempted. If I ever get any of them, I would get that Simpsons one.
I would definitely go and pick that up. Yeah, that's something I would definitely put in my house for sure.
And we also get, you know, we mentioned a subtle Matrix reference in the first time with him, you know, leaning back, and this one we get another, what I think feels like another Matrix reference, whenever Gideon, you know, powers up, and he gets, you know, hair times 7, blade times 7, cockiness times 7, and style times 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty clear reference to the whole, you know, the evil X's. And that's, we haven't talked too much about like the rest of the movie, but Edgar Wright has a lot of like numerical symbolism with numbers throughout the various evil X's throughout the movie. And there's 7 evil X's and Gideon is the 7th. And he also has the
it's X. Almost like he's like draining their power to level up type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's like the bad guys of like, the other thing that I noticed going Matrix wise is that he's fighting with one hand behind his back, very Morpheus, like when he's first fighting Neo, or Neo when at the very end, you know, he's fighting Mr. Smith in the first one, and he just sort of turns to the side and like does one hand combat against him or whatever with his hand behind his back.
Yeah, exactly.
Going with the cockiness thing, there were two lines that really made me laugh. The first one, which is more of on the cockiness side, they do that classic, you know, sort of a sword thing where they lock and then they push in and they come shoulder to shoulder, and Jason just goes, "Hey," and then they push each other away or whatever. That really made me laugh. I was like, that's super, super funny. He could have like talked trash to him or anything else like that, but he just kind of looked at him and smiled. I was like, "Hey."
Yeah. I also love, you know, the whole moment, like, and whenever he's defeated and flashing and glitching out, and he's like, "You know how long it took me to get all of their contact information? 2 hours.
I'm serious. It was like 2 hours. Like, and he like really, and the other line that I think it's like right when I love this two-player mode. Like that thing flashes up on the screen and then they start fighting him. And then he's like, "You made me swallow my gum." It's like such a bad guy move, and again, very cocky to be like chewing gum, like while you're battling. But I love like that. That's another, he's like, "Hey," and then like, you know, less than a minute later, I think he's like, "You made me swallow my gum," and just like how mad he is about it. Cause it's like, I just put it in. It still had so much flavor left. And he's like, "Going to be on my track for 7 years."
Yeah. Even though like, again, whenever he's defeated, he like coughs, and then it could be a reference to the gum that he swallowed, but, you know, something comes out of his mouth and then it turns into a coin because you hear it clatter on the ground.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's likely it. That's really funny. Yeah. My next note is just like throughout this, like they really up the graphics, like even if it's sort of a normal shot, like, you know, there's the blinking becomes more prevalent, the graphics and like the music and the sound effects and everything is kind of swelling in culmination to them to be able to like cut that sound in that classic, you know, defeat moment when Scott and team like finally like kind of, you know, defeat him, and that, you know, and then he's defeated and he's yelling about the 2 hours.
Yeah, I also love that his sword, like his energy sword, mm-hmm. does have that classic like pixelated look. Like it's not.
Yeah.
Because like Scott's sword has the animated flames. And,
yeah.
But Gideon's sword is like it's made of
pixels. Yeah, it's a little more Minecraft looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I thought, again, great like subtle touch, because obviously he's older, so he would have like, you know, Scott probably as a little kid played an Atari, but like his sort of first system was probably like a Nintendo or a Sega, and Gideon's was definitely like an Atari 2600. And like, you know, there's that 8 year or so age gap probably between them, because like I remember my first video game system was a 7800, and then my second one was a Sega Genesis 16. And I was like, I remember thinking, like, when I got that Sega and turned on Sonic for the first time, I was like, this looks so realistic, and it's like I'm there. And, you know, like, the other side-scroller that kind of has that is, like, Streets of Rage, like, that trilogy or whatever. And it was so crazy. My son was, like, 8, and my mom got him this little emulator, like, handheld emulator that's, like, probably about as big as an iPhone or something like that. And it had, like, 150 like Sega Genesis games on there, and it was like all of the ones that I wanted. And like I used to steal it from, like, I would go in and check, make sure he was all like tucked in at night once he was asleep, and I would just totally steal it from him and sit in bed and like play video games. Like I was like, I always wanted to play this one, I always wanted to play like Battle Axe, or I wanted to play like, you know, this,
this one.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's it is
Altered Beast.
But yeah, that sort of subtle reference to like he's definitely older, so his sort of frame of cool is like, you know, more like the Link Zelda sword, and Scott's is like maybe a little bit more of like the you know, like the sort of fiery, flamey sort of stuff from like, yeah, from like Altered Beast, like where there's like magic and flames, or like, you know, the sort of flames that you would see in like the X-Men games and that sort of thing.
Yeah, my first video game system, I don't remember exactly which one was first, but we had a ColecoVision and a Commodore 64.
Hmm. Old school, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we get the two-player mode with Scott and Knives. And mm-hmm. this, I always loved the game earlier. This is basically a callback to them whenever they played like Ninja Revolution, I believe, which is
mm-hmm.
pretty much like it's basically a fighting game version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Oh man, I'm so hyped to watch this movie.
And that was another game that's like, you know, that really hits my nostalgia, because, you know, whenever my first like real job, which in a way I'm still kind of in my first real job, but was at an arcade. Aladdin's Castle, and you know, we had a DDR machine, and I played that a lot, so like you know, after my shifts.
Yeah, we had a cool place here. I don't know if it's like it was called Wonderland. It's still there, and it's a nickel arcade, so it's like it had like all of the video games, all the big video games, all the titles, but like you just go in. And, you know, you spend 10, 20 bucks and you just get like a bag of nickels. And it's instead of quarters, it's like, you know, it's like 4 nickels to play this game. And it's four. But like it was always packed. And I remember taking my son there once for his birthday. And one of my buddies who's a big video gamer, like they still have like the old school T2 Terminator game with the guns, like where you're shooting everything, you know, and like.
Yeah.
And they had like a bunch of those like Mortal Kombat games. I remember I was at the Oregon coast. And there was an arcade there, and I like wandered in because my parents were shopping for, I don't know, candles or homemade soap or something stupid. And I wandered into and I remember seeing Mortal Kombat 2, and there was just this huge line of these people just messing each other up. And like, in an actual arcade. So like I have a big fondness for something like this. And you know, that sort of like when you said that Simpsons thing, like I've got a buddy who has a bunch of, he's got a whole room in his house. He's in Texas. He's got a whole room in his house with like pinball machines, and he restores old cabinets. And it's, so it's like real OG stuff. It's not like the emulator stuff. And he's got tons and tons of games. And it's like, yeah, if there was ever a time when I could like, you know, make like a little game room or something like that, for sure that Ninja Turtles would be in there. For sure that Simpsons would be in there. And the Addams Family pinball machine would definitely be in there.
Yeah. Nice.
And like probably like Street Fighter 2 Ultra, like when you got like the extra characters or whatever, you know, when they added on like all of the extra like Cammy and T-Hawk or something like that. And like, you know, like when they added those extra characters to the Street Fighter 2, and then maybe like a Mortal Kombat one as well or something like that. But like, yeah, for sure. Like that video game experience was really heightened and awakened to me today watching these clips. I'm super excited that you asked me to be on this episode, and it was such a pleasure seeing all this stuff. And I'm out of my notes, so whatever else you want to talk about, we can chat about your stuff.
Yeah, I think that's about the end of my notes. Just about the one other thing that I wanted to mention is, you know, in the first iteration of the loop, it was basically Gideon that blindsided Scott whenever he was distracted by talking to Ramona and Knives. Mm-hmm. And this time around, it's Gideon that gets blindsided by Ramona, because for whatever reason, her mind control chip, which we skipped over talking about, the fact that...
Oh, right, because she reaches back and there's like a little spark thing, like in the first loop, right? I didn't know what that was, so I was like, I thought she was actually going to like pull a sword or like she had like, you know, like chopstick knives or something. Like I thought she was going to pull something out of her hair, and then she didn't, so I just kind of like, but yeah, so that like malfunctioned in that moment or something, right?
Yeah, and the Scott's desert, she mentions that he literally has control over her, and then points to the chip in the back of her neck. So that implied that, you know, the chip is literal mind control, and Scott's like, evil.
Oh, so that was the plot, 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 boring, boring, boring that I skipped over.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have watched that.
And then and this one, I think whenever Knives kicks her, it malfunctions, and so.
Oh, gotcha. Like when she's like hanging off the edge or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but so this time, you know, it's Gideon that gets blindsided whenever Ramona knees him in the balls.
Yeah. Totally, but that's super neat. That's and also like, you got to think, are all of the people in that club, do they have like a similar chip, you know, like is the 2 hours he's talking about like where he's like, you know, chipping people up and like making sure that everyone is like, no, Gideon rips, and you know, that sort of thing, like building his army of chipped sycophants.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, going like the plot of Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, right, dude. There's a movie right there. Oh, what a fun, silly movie that is.
Yeah, with the whole subliminal messaging.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, and I love how all of the evil exes burst into coins. But they do things, again, a little bit differently for Gideon, because, like, whenever Scott kicks him in the head, it's like a slow transition where first his head, you know, explodes into coins, and then it slowly goes down the rest of his body. So it's a bit more visually interesting than the previous ones.
Yeah, it's like that classic sort of, like, you know, mummy sort of kind of like dust disintegration thing where they do that. And also it's like a really cool, like that wide shot, very cinematic, very comic book. Like that's like the whole top right rectangle of like a page or whatever. And it's a very much like a small, like a third of a page, kind of like splash page where it's like pow, bam, like, you know, that onomatopoeia is in the background or whatever, with like, it's in white, the whole background's a certain color, they're kind of like in shadow, so, but you can still kind of make out like the color of what they're wearing. And yeah, it's a really super cool shot.
And then he gets 7 billion points for, I guess, defeating the final boss.
Yeah, kind of like the culmination points of like defeating that whole seven X's gang.
Even though I did stop this loop, it was a little bit hard for me to decide exactly where to stop it, because you know, it's since it's not really a traditional time loop movie, it just kind of backs up and then has this section of repetition.
Right. I think that's a great point where you stopped it, because really the loop ends there, because it's over and now the battle's over. Whereas before Scott died and then, you know, they went into limbo or whatever. And now Gideon's out of here. So like now the movie can continue anew. And so it's like, I think you chose an amazing point to stop it.
And then it's, I stopped, like, I think just a little bit before we find out that he has to battle Nega Scott.
Oh, right. Oh man, there's one more battle. Gosh, again, I'm so excited to watch this movie.
Yeah, but it's, you know, this is a fun movie, and you know, I really enjoyed looking at this with like the lens of a time loop movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a smart idea.
And you know, this was, you know, a fun little diversion here. I've got something, a surprise bonus episode coming up for next week, which. You know, I'm not quite ready to reveal. It's going to be a surprise. And somebody, you know, one of my previous guests messaged me and mentioned this idea for a bonus episode. And I was like, that is genius. I can't believe that I didn't think of it. But yes, I'm absolutely doing this. So I'm looking forward and for everybody to listen to that one next week. But this has also been a whole lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to doing more of these, you know, one-off bonus episodes in future hiatuses in between seasons. But, you know, thanks again, Bentley, for joining me today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And why don't you go ahead and one more time let everybody else know where they can find you online.
Yeah, absolutely. My podcast, A Christmas Story Minute, you can on Twitter, Instagram is @ACSMinute. You can hit us up at acsminute@gmail.com. If you have interactions with the cast, the crew, been to the house, got a leg lamp, have a story to tell, I would love to read it on air or retweet or regram your pictures and that sort of thing. I personally am @BentleyWho, BentleyWho, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also, if you're looking for some voiceover work and that sort of stuff and want an affordable price, you can find me on Fiverr. Just go on to Fiverr.com and type in Bentley Michaels, all one word. Or I'm sure if you Google Bentley Michaels Fiverr, the profile will come up. I think it's just Fiverr.com/Bentley Michaels. And if you got projects, if you want, you know, podcast intros, outros, celebrity impressions, you know, all sorts of stuff, I'm happy to happy to help you out. And check out ACS A Christmas Story Minute. And I think that's pretty much everything. Again, thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun, and I would love to, if you're going to do another loop one or whatever, you know, I was thinking about Deadpool 2 and that sort of thing. I don't know if you've already done that one, but that just came to mind when you were talking, or if you're having me on Twilight, if you're doing the Twilight Zone thing, I would love to come on, and also open invitation to come on my show.
Sure. And yeah, and you know, you mentioned Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and that's definitely going on my list for a future hiatus episode.
Awesome.
But as always, I am Bubba Wheat, and you can find me at FlightsTightsMovieNights.com. You can find me on Twitter @BubbaWheat. You can find this show, It's Time to Rewind, on Anchor.fm, as well as anywhere else where you listen to podcasts. We have a Facebook group, It's Time to Rewind, a time loop group where you can join and have discussions about episodes as they come out, as well as, you know, share memes and have discussions about any new time loop movies or old time loop movies. Anything's fair game. It's a friendly community, and I'm hoping to grow it. So I also have a Patreon.
And I'll be joining, so you can talk to me as well.
And I also have a Patreon where you can, if you join, you can get episodes ahead of time. And in the future, if that continues to grow, I'll open it up to voting, to where you can decide what future seasons will be on this show. But yeah, you know, until next time, you know, just you're just going to have to wait for the next bonus episode. I think everybody's going to, well, fans of the previous season on Groundhog Day is the one hint that I'll give you will enjoy it. Until next time.
I'm a god.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow?
I'm a god.
There wasn't one today.
You know how long it took to get all the Eagle X's contact information so I could form this stupid league? Like 2 hours! 2 hours!